Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, 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 come on
guys. It's September 16th. I'm hoping that my friend Teresa, she's TB Shores on YouTube, and also hopefully Brother Bowley will do videos, because I did touch a Teresa yesterday, and she did have a bunch of information come to her after I told her the dream that I had about the brides running around. And one of the things the Lord told her was, you're making final preparations. And that's actually in my word today. When I got my word from the Lord, he used the same verbiage, final preparations. So I got this word yesterday. I'm putting it up today. Very tired today. Just kind of not having an easy time. Marriage is being attacked. And so if anybody feels like throwing up a prayer for me, I'd greatly appreciate it. But I'll go ahead and get this up. My bride, if you seek out my wisdom and insight, it will not be withheld from you. It is the time that I will give you revelation that has never been given before. Prepare yourself. Prepare your vessel to receive such things. I will give you words, dreams, and visions, and revelations to the dreams of others. I will flood my bride with knowledge of what is coming, but also my divine peace to go along with it. Your time grows short, my bride, and you are tarrying about making final preparations. And that was what Teresa had said too when she heard my dream. I think it was final preparations. Okay, and then it says, you will soon see the place that I have prepared for you. It is perfect beyond your imagination. No more tears, only joy. No more pain, no more fear. You have gotten yourself to the church on time and are waiting for your groom. Do not lose your patience. Endure until the groom comes. Do not look to the left or to the right, but look straight down the aisle. I love you, my perfect bride. You have been bathed in my blood, purified and are as white as snow, walking in my righteous white wedding gown. Soon, you won't be hurried anymore. I will sweep you up, up and away. Oh, my bride, focus on what lies directly ahead. Do not look to the right or to the left. Pay no attention to the sin all around you, but focus on the cleanliness of your own heart, my love. I will take care of the bridesmaids and groomsmen. Your lamp is trimmed, my love, and your way will be on a bright and lighted path, no longer surrounded by darkness. Stay centered now, away from the darkness that is in your midst. I am right here. Do not take your eyes from me. I am right here, my children. My Father gave you to me.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to share a word with you that I received from the Lord yesterday. So discern this word, because I kind of thought maybe, at first I thought this word was for me, but then there's things that are in this word that I think is for more than just me. So I'm going to put this out here because I think this can benefit more people than just me. So this is the word that the Lord shared with me. The end is upon you. Troublesome times lay ahead, and most are not yet prepared for what will soon take place. Many will be caught off guard and find themselves in a hole. They will cover themselves in their own iniquity, refusing to seek my face. They will face their own fears. They will run to their idols for comfort and find no restitution. Their idols cannot save them. I am the only one who can save them. Yet they resist my help. Foolish, I say. Foolish are they who fight their Creator, the one who breathes life into them. They will soon find themselves on the wrong side of the door. stubborn and unwilling to repent. They are too busy, caught up in the cares of this world, to return to me for protection. And so they will be left outside of my gates for no one to watch over them. This is their choice. It is not my choice that any shall perish. But there are those who will by their own hands. It is imperative that my chosen find me and begin their walk in my peace, so that when trouble surrounds them, they will know the way to go. Those who choose to go on their own will find themselves facing their biggest fears. I am not a man that I should lie. All will know that I am God. Seek me while I may be found. There will come a time when I will not be accessible, and those who aren't grounded in my love will have nowhere to turn. You will show them the way. You will be the light on the hill. You will be the calm that helps them regain control of what the enemy has tried to destroy. Don't let any get away. Reach my lost and my chosen and guide them to me. Without me, there is nowhere to go. I am the only means of protection, and my children must now turn to me. Don't be left on the outside looking in. I am waiting for you to return home to me. Forever in my kingdom, you will reign. Forever by my side, you will be. You were created for me, and in me you are set free. Step away with me and let me love you. Come into your destiny. My loving arms await thee. Yours forever, Yeshua. So I hope this blesses you guys. And take care and God bless. I'll talk to you soon.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, shalom, shalom, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Lord Tower. Hope everyone, hallelujah, is having had a wonderful weekend with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm looking forward to this coming week. Hallelujah. Where things are being unfolded. Hallelujah. And the Lord is continuing to reveal to his people the things that are coming through dreams and visions and revelation in such a special way. Hallelujah. That people are stunned with what they are seeing, hallelujah, and what is unfolding, what will be unfolding very soon, hallelujah. It is so sad what happened in Washington, hallelujah, today. Hallelujah, we hope that the Lord will comfort those families who lost a loved one, hallelujah. And I ask everyone to please keep them in prayer, hallelujah. Because you see, we never know the day or the hour when the Lord will come or when we will meet the Lord. You know, we will meet the Lord, hallelujah, any day. Everyone is waiting for the rapture. Everyone who is seeking the Lord, who's in repenting, is waiting to be going home. But, you know, the Lord can call that home on a time that we're not expecting him. Like those people today, 13 people died. You know, were they ready to meet God? Were they ready to die? You know, you never know when you're going to die, hallelujah. And this is why it is just so important we seek the Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to do a prayer for the people that are trying to log in. And I know that they're having a tough time logging in, Lord Jesus. Mighty Yeshua, mighty Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you will take over control of the internet, Blog Talk Radio, Lord Jesus, Google. And anyone, Lord Jesus, that are trying to keep these people, our brothers and sisters, from logging in and listening to the Lord Tower, Lord Jesus, we ask that you will break the power of darkness in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. The power of darkness will be broken now in Jesus' name, Lord Jesus. We expect 10 million angels, Lord Jesus, to be around us today. In the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, we'll clean out everyone home, everyone life, so everyone will be able to listen and receive the message in such a special way. In Jesus' name, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Make it possible, Lord, for people to log in into the chat room, for people to log in into the Lord Tower. And Lord Jesus, make it possible for them, Lord Jesus, to listen. In Jesus' mighty name, Yeshua's mighty name, Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, for those people that are trying to log in, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jesus, in that it will be possible for them to break the power of Satan. Remove the evil hand, Lord, from the internet that are trying to block these people, the power of the air. Hallelujah, from the air, from hell, Lord Jesus, from earth. Be broken in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, Yahashua's name. And people will be able to log in Jesus' name. Break this power, Lord Jesus. Break them in your name, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name we pray, Lord Jesus, break this power. Hallelujah. And then my brothers and sisters will be able to log in. In Jesus' mighty name, Yeshua's mighty name. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Yes, let your fire. Let your fire minister. Hallelujah. Let your fire break. Let the anointing break the yoke in Jesus' name. In Yeshua's name, hallelujah. Let the yoke be broken by the anointing in Jesus' name. Mighty Jesus, take over this service. Take over this program tonight, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, Yeshua's name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The demons are running already. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Jesus. They're running. They are running. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty Jesus. Thank you, mighty Lord. You are so good. Hallelujah. How many of you enjoyed the program on Friday? Hallelujah. How the Lord came down and ministered. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It was just such a special program. How the Lord came down and visited people. Hallelujah. I had so much email from people on Saturday. Hallelujah. When I went to my email on Saturday and opened my MSN email, I was like, wow, how people responded to what happened on Friday night. God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Answered so many people's prayer. The Lord Jesus himself came down, hallelujah, and ministered to people in such a way. It was so awesome. Hallelujah. So awesome, so awesome. The response on Saturday, it was so amazing. I was so amazed. I haven't seen a response like this for a while here on the Lord Tower. My email, hallelujah, was one person after another, hallelujah. It was so awesome how the Lord came into Africa and visited people, San Salvador, Mexico, hallelujah. So many countries, the Lord just came in there himself in person and came into people's home and ministered to people in such a special way on Friday. Hallelujah. People were stunned. Like, my goodness, Brother Elvie, it's the Lord in my house. Hallelujah. And the Lord was laying hand on people. Some people had the Lord's hand on their shoulder. A lot of other people had it on their head, on their forehead. And somewhere in their body, they felt the hand of the Lord. A sister saw the Gabita. Actually, the Lord opened her eyes to see his hand. She saw the hand of the Lord, actually. She actually saw it. Hallelujah. And the Lord was there in her house. Hallelujah. And it was so awesome. So awesome how people got touched by the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of people are expecting me to continue ministering on Saturday. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, but sometimes when you do it for hours, it's just a lot. And so I was talking to people right before the program. Right before the program, I was speaking with people. And sometimes after the program, I'm still speaking with people. So it goes on for hours and hours and hours and hours. Hallelujah. And so, praise Jesus, hallelujah. If I would have kept everything running, going, we would have been to 1 midnight. Although the Black Talk Radio is programmed for 2 hours, at 10 o'clock in my time, Easter time, it stops. But the chat room, I believe I can keep it up for another hour. Hallelujah. And it was so awesome. So it was so awesome how the Lord came and touched people in such a special way. Hallelujah. We're always looking. Hallelujah, for the Lord to minister. Hallelujah. And the Lord let me know he's going to do this again for sure. He's going to come down and minister to people in a special way. And we're looking forward to that for sure. We're always looking forward to the Lord to come down and minister. You know, today, this morning, earlier, 2 something in the morning, I believe it was, hallelujah, when the Lord came down, 1 something he came down in the morning. And my prayer time was him. And the Lord came down and ministered to me in such a special way. The Lord was so happy at what happened on Saturday for sure. Saturday morning. It was such a blessing. Well, hallelujah, with the Lord. He's just been keep coming down, hallelujah, minister to my house, to my home, hallelujah. And I remember asking him on Thursday morning if he would come down on Saturday to minister to the people on the Lord's Tower. And he said, yes, he would. Yeah, I said, well, I was expecting the Lord to come to the Lord's Tower on Friday night, a minister, hallelujah. And he did. He actually did. He actually did. He came down here. The anointing flowed in such a special way. And then he was visiting people at home and ministering to people in such a special way, hallelujah. The people that were not here, they missed such a blessing, hallelujah. And again, you know, that's why we invite people. And so we also, over 4 weeks ago, I mentioned to the people that Friday the 13th, we would be having this service. And then I thought about it, wow, on the 13th, hallelujah, they are the witches and warlocks and all that. But the Lord, anyway, he came down, he broke their power in so many people's lives and home. The witchcraft power, our evil and all that, he came down, and it was such a special service. We're going to program another day, another Friday, for the Lord to come down. I will ask the Lord to come down. He'll say yes for sure. He's always looking to have people invite him to come to the home, their life, and minister. Hallelujah. He loves us so much. Hallelujah. And so he's willing always to minister and come down and set people free. He came to set the captive free. Amen. I have a word to share. Hallelujah. And I want to go ahead and go into that word because I know it will be a blessing to God's people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We know there's a lot of judgment coming. We know that the Lord is speaking to his prophet on all these things that are coming. Hallelujah. And I want to speak to you about being ready in your personal life with the Lord. Hallelujah. That when God is speaking, hallelujah, through his prophet, and God is saying to us that he's going to go ahead and bring all these things spiritually, we're ready with God, and we are believing God, and we're standing, we're seeking God, and we're walking in obedience. We're standing and walking in obedience. It's very important, my brothers and sisters, that we walk in obedience. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Hallelujah. It's very important that we're walking by faith. We're listening. We're receiving God's warning through his prophet. And again, you can always seek for confirmation. The Lord has said it through one of the prophets that I prayed earlier. We can always seek for a word that you hear, that someone said, the Lord gave me this word. You can always go back to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, this word that someone gave, you gave this person. Would you please confirm this word to me? Let it be to dream, vision, or speak to me, to my heart, my mind, however God communicates to you. And he will. He's faithful. The Lord Jesus is faithful. Amen. Faithful is the one who sits on the throne. And he's always going to confirm. God is not a God of confusion. Amen. He'll never lead you to confusion. He never wants you to be confused. He always wants you to be clear about anything about him. In regard to his message, his word, his revelation, he always wants you to have a clear mind and clear understanding that God is the one speaking to you or revealing these things to you. If God gives you a dream or a vision or any word, you can always go back to him and ask him for a confirmation, for a clear revelation of what he has said to you. And the Lord God is always willing, hallelujah, to do that, hallelujah. And he loves that. He loves when we go to him, amen, because like he says to his disciple in John 15, verse 4 and 5, he said, you can do nothing without me. And so we need to understand that there's nothing we can do without him, and that we always need him. Hallelujah, that he will guide us through his Holy Spirit, his Ruach HaKadosh. He always guiding us to the truth, my brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the truth. He is the way and the life to the Father. Hallelujah. And so that truth is always confirmed because he's eternal. He always been and he always will be. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. Anything he begun in you, he is going to end in your life. Any work he begun in your life, Jesus is going to end because he is the beginning, he is the end. God will never leave anything halfway unless you refuse to obey him. And even though when people refuse to obey him,
He always looking for ways to reach them out, to help them understand, hallelujah, and save them. Because it's not his will for anyone to perish. Not his will for anyone to perish. So he's always looking to save people. Now, this word is in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, we have an example of a generation who walked with God and how they walked with God and what they did that was pleasing to God and what they didn't do that was unpleasing to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3:11 said, therefore, holy brethren, partaker of the heavenly vocation, consider the apostle and high priest our profession, Christ Jesus. Amen. This comes out of the Geneva 1599 Bible. Amen. Before I move on, I don't want to forget this. This is part of what I need to share tonight. And if some of you have read the INIB Bible, have listened to a message through the INIB Bible, hallelujah, the Lord revealed me something so special after speaking with the Lord about the INIB, which is it has so much false teaching in that Bible that if you have, that have brought confusion to your life, that have brought so much harm to your spiritual life, that this is the way the Lord wants us to deal with this, and it's repent false teaching from the INIB Bible, including the King James, to where they have modified so much word, okay, that you hear that preacher that I put in here last week, that even in the King James, many of the words have been modified, which have made, hallelujah, not being true the way it was made from the beginning. Amen. And so I want to ask you to join me in a prayer before I continue on, hallelujah, and share what I need to share, repenting the false teaching of the INIV, because it's affecting your body, affecting your mind, affecting your soul, and affecting your spirit. See, the INIV in Isaiah 14:12 made Satan like Jesus, made Satan a god in the INIV Bible, when he's only a created angel. That's what Satan is, a fallen created angel. But the NIV Bible makes him a God in Isaiah 14:12, my brothers and sisters. So we have to repent all the false teaching of the NIV Bible. And I want to ask you to join me in this, because there's so much false teaching in the NIV Bible that we need to repent that. And I repent myself before God for even teaching you from the NIV some of the teaching that I brought here before. I'm truly sorry for bringing that false teaching through the INIB, because anything, any word that is changed, any word of God that is changed is false and become false. So Lord Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, I repent. Lord Jesus, I'm reading the INIB Bible. I'm listening to any teaching of the NIB Bible, including any word, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for any false teaching, Lord, that came out of the NIB Bible. I truly repent, Lord. Any word that affected my body, my soul, and my spirit, Lord Jesus, and my spirit to walk with you, Lord Jesus, I truly repent. I sincerely repent, Lord Jesus, any false teaching that came out of the INIV Bible in Jesus' mighty name. Any word that been changed out of the King James Bible, the Bible we have, Lord Jesus, I repent in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name. I'm sorry, Lord Jesus, cleanse us with your blood and your holy fire. Lord Jesus, all this false teaching out of our life, body, soul, and spirit, mind, and heart, in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, Lord Jesus, cleanse us, Lord Jesus, for any false teaching, Lord Jesus, of the INIB Bible, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. If you have done this prayer, hallelujah, continue to do it every day until the Lord takes out all that false teaching out of your life. You won't believe the difference. I've been doing this for 2 days now. You won't believe the difference of all the cleansing and purification the Lord is doing through me and taking all this false teaching out of the INIB Bible. My goodness, what a blessing it's been to my life. And so I'm sharing this for you tonight, hallelujah, that if you are listening to teaching through the INIB Bible, through anyone, who no matter who it is, hallelujah, you have been receiving false teaching and it's been contaminating your life and it's been bringing confusion into your life. Again, the INIB Bible in Isaiah 14 calls Satan a god, and Satan is not a god. He is only a creation. That's how you know how false the INIB Bible is, my brothers and sisters. Very false. Very, very false. And so we have to repent of false teaching. Hallelujah. And I hope some of you, hallelujah, if you have listened to the NIV or have written the NIV, I want you to give me a one or say, okay, I have. Hallelujah. So you see how many people have read the NIV or listened to the NIV. If you still have it, don't read it anymore, because you'll be reading false teaching. And it will contaminate your life, your relationship with God. and that's not good for you. The Lord, this revival is coming soon, my brothers and sisters. This is why God is preparing us now spiritually for this revival, because Father God is going to use us in such a mighty way. So God is revealing all this mystery, all these false teaching that we've been receiving for years, so we will be cleansed to be used. Hallelujah. Amen. Awesome for that. But including if you have read the new King James Version too, a lot of the word have been changed. And so that's hallelujah. I ordered a first edition out of the 1620 King James Bible. And I'm gonna share with you everything they have changed from the 1600 King James Version to the one we have 1964. You will be stunned at how much word they have changed the meaning, including in the King James Bible, how old that it's coming. So I will share more with people. And right now, I'm just in the Geneva 1560 and 1599. Amen. The word I'm reading tonight from the Geneva 1599. Hallelujah. You will be stunned. The Pilgrim, that was the first Bible they read, the Geneva and the King James. Those two Bibles, from the 1500, you won't believe the difference. It is so clear. The Lord, I was speaking with the Lord in prayer about this. Okay? And I went to Hebrew 11. I want to share to you what the Geneva 1599 says about Hebrew 11. What's the difference now? What's the difference? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Again, Brother Benson, you need to pray about to the Lord. Be guided by God, my brother, by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Not what man says, what the Holy Spirit said. If you have any doubt or anything I'm saying to you, ask the Holy Spirit or ask the Lord and pray and watch out. Watch what he will say. Hallelujah. Be very careful, my brothers and sisters. Be ye not deceived, the Bible said. So Hebrew 11, what's the difference here? Hebrew 11, 1. Now, faith is the grounds of things which are hoped for, the evidence of things which are not seen. Okay? Look at the difference from the New King James. Here it is. I'm going to post it in the chat room. It says that faith is the ground of things. Faith is the ground of our belief. Faith, when I asked the Lord if this word was correct, the Lord, he gave me such a joy. He says, my son, this is exactly what it means. Faith is the ground of things which are hoped for. That's what faith is, the ground of our salvation, the ground of our walk with God, the ground of our belief in God. It's faith, my brothers and sisters. You won't believe the joy of the Lord when I share this with him and pray, because I'm seeking the truth from the Lord. And when the Lord confirmed this word to me, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It's so different from the King James 1964, because it says something else there that I don't even want to remember. I don't even want to say it. The Lord said this is from the 1599 Bible. 1599. Imagine that. Look at the difference. Faith is the ground of things which are hoped for. You have the ground in your walk with God in faith. Hallelujah. If faith is your ground and your belief in God and your walk in God, my goodness, you're going to have victory in God for sure. Because faith is the ground. Faith always needs to be the ground. Because we walk by faith, not by sight, the Bible says. But when you read it from this old Bible, you see the difference. You see why these people have such a victory in the walk with God. Why they were so anointing. Why God used them so powerfully in the ministry and their life. How the Lord took me back to Abraham Lincoln's life. And I saw such an anointing this man had. Such a presence of God he had in his life. How when he prayed, the Lord Jesus came down to his life in such a special way. Jesus took me there to see this life, the life of these people back then, and I was stunned. I was stunned how I saw the work with God. Such a power and anointing they have with God, because the Bible they have was pure. It was pure. They had no mistranslation. They had the right translation. They had the word God wanted them to have. My brothers and sisters, and that's what you and I need to have. We need to go back to that and ask the Lord for wisdom and leading in this, because this is the pure word. Hallelujah. That is going to, the Lord is going to use to cleanse our life, to purify our life, hallelujah, to help us walk in holiness and righteousness right before him. This is what God wants. This is what we want. This is what we want. And when I asked the Lord this in prayer, the way he responded to me, I was stunned. I couldn't believe he was so happy when I shared this Hebrew 11 from that old translation. He was like, because the Lord spoke to me almost 3 weeks ago, and an out of a boy, the Lord Jesus says to me, my son, go back to reading the old Bibles. Old Bible. He said, back then Bibles. Hallelujah. And I'm reading the 1599 Bible, and I'm stunned. I ordered the 1619 or 1620 King James Bible, and I'm going to just be teaching out of that. Just out of that. That's what they did. Okay, that's what Abraham Lincoln and all these people had. That's what the Bible they had back then. Okay, and that's what I'm going to be reading. That's what I'm going to be teaching. I'm going to be repenting for any other Bible I read, even the modified King James, all of those Bible. I'm going to repent for all that false teaching. That's all I'm teaching, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. I want to be pure for the Lord. I want to be holy. I want to be what God wants me to be. Hallelujah. You won't believe the joy of the Lord because I've been in this Bible. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. And I advise you to get your hand on one of these Bibles. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let me go back, hallelujah, to praise the Lord, hallelujah, to Hebrew 3. Hallelujah. Therefore, in this Bible from the 1599 has a comment. And now he showed how far inferior Moses is to Christ, even so much as a servant to the master. So he bring a certain association and threatening, hallelujah, taking out David, and again such a either stubbornly resist or else are very slow to obey. And you're going to mean what he meant by this. Hallelujah. So the first example we have in Hebrew 3:1 is Jesus. What a great example he is. You cannot have a better example than Jesus, for sure. Cannot have a better example than Jesus. That's the example we want to have. Okay, we have a profession. We have a work to do with God. Our profession is being son and daughter of God. That's our profession. Hallelujah. And that was the profession of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the apostle and high priest of our profession. Hallelujah. The profession is what you do. It's what you do. When someone asks you, what do you do for work? That's your profession. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And so Jesus, hallelujah, commands us to be obedient. Hallelujah. And keep his word. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters. And so we have that command, hallelujah. A profession is a pay or an occupation that once involved prolonged training and formal qualification. Amen. So Jesus is qualifying you and I for God. Here it is. I looked up the meaning. There it is. Hallelujah. That's what profession means. A pay occupation. Amen. Hallelujah. That prolonged training, we are being trained by God, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are being trained in faith. We are being trained in a walk with God. It's a training God is putting us through, walking with the Holy Spirit and walking with his Son. And the training demands holiness, cleansing and purification from anything of this world, anything of the enemy, any lie or any deceit. See, Revelation said that the beast came to deceive the world. Well, you and I are not of the world. We are in the world, but we're not of this world. We have been separated from the world by Jesus Christ, in case anyone wanted to know. Hallelujah. We are of Jesus. We are of God. We've been separated for him. Hallelujah. Our perfection in God is our purification. It's our living holy before God. Staining yourself from sin, the Bible says. In another word, that's your perfection and mine. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Who was faithful to him that had appointed him, even as Moses was, hallelujah, in all his house. Who appointed Jesus? God. Hallelujah. Who appointed us? God. Hallelujah. But there was one difference between Jesus and I. Jesus was faithful. Are you faithful to God? Are you being faithful to your calling before the Lord? Hallelujah. Is faithfulness one of the things, one of your dreams and your heart? Do you say to yourself every day, I need to be faithful to the Lord? One of the things that the Lord has revealed to me is that if I, just being a man that makes all kinds of mistakes before God, can be faithful to Him, like in fasting and prayer and seeking Him, hallelujah, and keeping and preaching His word and seeking obedience and being obedient, if I can be faithful in the little things of God, imagine God how much faithful He will be to me. Because He's greater than I, and He is God, and He can do all things. Hallelujah. And if I can make my effort every day to be faithful to God in my perfection, in the calling He has put in my life, how much more God will be faithful to me. Hallelujah. The Lord has called me to pray in the morning to whatever time He wants. It's not easy. Every day, He demands that I will pray. My brothers and sisters, I tell you sometime, after praying an hour or two, I'm tired. After praying 3 hours, my body's giving up on me. Everything in me is hurting. It is not easy. But there's one thing that I keep in my mind. I need to be faithful to the Lord. Because the Lord says for me to do this. To whom much is given, much is demanded, He says to me. He expects us to seek Him in the morning. He has said it through the Psalm, through all His Bible. Seek me in the morning and you will find me. Hallelujah. If you seek the Lord in the morning, the Lord will come to you in the morning. If you are faithful to Him, seeking Him in the morning, and if you make every effort to every day seek Him in the morning, the Lord will come to you. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And the Lord Jesus on Friday, when I asked Him to come, He came. Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, why do you come? And He says, because I promise you I will come. He lived after His word. When He makes a promise, He keeps it. He expects you and I to keep our promise to Him, my brothers and sisters. God don't expect us to break a word. And so if you are making every effort every day to keep your promise to God, and somehow you make a mistake and you fail Him a day, let me tell you what happens. He keeps being faithful to you. Why? Because when we are unfaithful, He keeps being faithful. When you make a mistake, hallelujah, hallelujah, but you're making the effort to be faithful to Him, and you go ahead and make some mistake, He keeps being faithful to you. Because God cannot make a mistake, and God cannot break His promise. He cannot break His promise. Hallelujah. Let me keep on. Verse 3. For this man is counted worthy, I'm reading in Hebrews chapter 3, of more glory than Moses, inasmuch, hallelujah, if he which had built the house had more honor than the house. So of course he had more honor than the house because he's God. He's God. Jesus is God. He got more honor than this earth and anything we see with our eyes. He's God. His glory is much more than all this. Amen. But Jesus had in His mind to be faithful to the Father. And so what is He teaching us? To be faithful. See, God expects you to be faithful. God demands that you will be faithful to Him. He knows how much you can do. That's why He demands it. Oh, you know, God knows. Some people say, God knows I cannot be faithful to Him. You better think about that again. God made you. God made you. He formed you in, hallelujah, in the womb of your mother. You were made by God. God knows exactly who you are. God knows exactly what you can do and what you cannot do. And when God demands something from you and I, when God expects something from you and I, He knows we can do it. Hallelujah. But He also knows that we cannot do it by our own strength. That's why He sent His Son to die on the cross, so you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. He knows you need His Son to keep His word, to be obedient, to be holy. He knows that. And that's why Jesus said to His disciples, without me, nothing you can do. Without Him, without Jesus, there's nothing you can do. And so God expects you and I to go to His Son. At one time, the Father took me to heaven, and the Father looked at me. I could not see Him back then. And the Father says to me, I knew He was looking at me, but he says to me, my son, I want you to go to my Son, Jesus. I want you to go to Him. He will help you to keep my word. He's going to help you, my son. Those are the words my Father says to me in heaven. And then took me back down again. I had a clear understanding right after that, that in order for me to please God, in order for me to keep God's word, in order for me to be obedient, in order for me to be holy, I need to go to the Lord Jesus. And I have to ask Him, Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. I need to pray to Him. I need to seek His face. I need to seek the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be holy. Help me to keep Your word. Help me to keep Your commandment, Lord. Help me to be righteous before God in Jesus' name. Give me Your strength. Give me Your knowledge. Give me Your wisdom, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. In Yeshua's mighty name. In Jehoshua's mighty name. I need Your help, Jesus. And as I go to Him, He is going to help me. He never turned anyone that came to Him. No one that comes to Jesus gets turned away. No one. Unless it's a fallen demon who has no more chance to go to heaven. But any human, any creature of God that goes to Jesus will always get His help. That's why Jesus was one time in heaven, looked at me from His throne and said, tell them that if they come to me, I will help them. That's what I'm here to tell you. That if you come to Jesus in prayer and repenting, with sincere repenting, you're going to get help from Jesus. He is going to help you. Because He is the one appointed by Father God. Jesus is the one appointed by Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 4. For every house is built of someone. And He that have built all things is God. Who have made you? God. God made you. That's why you cannot keep giving God the excuses. No one can be holy. No one can keep His word. No one can be perfect. Oh, no. Not by your own strength. But yes. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Things are possible with God. Jesus thought His disciples carefully, looking at them, and said to them, all things are possible with God. Oh, so where do you live? Hallelujah. You. Hallelujah. Are you not believing God? Are you believing God? Or are you believing yourself? Or are you believing the devil? Or are you believing men? Who are you believing? Elijah said to his generation, choose ye this day, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve Baal or you are going to serve God? Hallelujah. We are being called to choose. Hallelujah. I remember when Jesus was showing me the rapture, and I was complaining back to Jesus. I said, Lord Jesus, man, so many people are staying, Lord. And the Lord came to me in a face-to-face experience, and He says to me, look, hallelujah, He says, my son, they are making their choice. I can never forget those words. He said, came out of the list of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My son, they are making the choice, He says to me. And I said, oh, man, we can never forget that it's by choice. You make your own choice. If you want to go to heaven, you make your choice for Jesus. But if you want to stay here in this tribulation, hallelujah, and perish, you are choosing your own way. God is not choosing it for you. God is choosing life from you, not death. You are making your own choice. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. Verse 5. Now Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a witness of the things which to be spoken after. Hallelujah. So Moses was a servant, just like you and I. But he was also a witness. You and I, if we persevere, if we keep seeking God, I remember I was taken to heaven at one time, and I was sitting in Jesus' seat of judgment. I was sitting there. Why was I sitting there? I was a witness. I was a witness, like a lot of you will be. See, the Church of Christ, according to Romans 14, we have to give an account to Jesus Christ. We're all going to have to give an account of the thing we did and we did not do. Hallelujah. And we're also going to be a witness. If we were obedient and we kept his commandment and walk in obedience and righteousness and holiness, which is our calling, our profession, we're going to be witness for God. Hallelujah. And people are going to be asked, why did you not keep this my commandment? Why did ye broke my commandment that says thou shalt not commit adultery? Thou shalt not commit fornication. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. And on and on. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And we're all just going to be looking there at the angels and the holy redeemed and the Lord Jesus in that room, calling everyone into an account. And when someone tries to justify itself or something, they're going to say, hold on a second. Were you there? They're going to point to someone. Were you there? Oh, wait a minute. Let's call his guiding angel. Ho, ho. Let's call his guiding angel. Can you come here, guiding angel? Didn't you walk with this person from the time it was born, from his mother's womb, until the time it came to heaven? And the angel is going to say, yes, I was. Did you saw this person break this word? Yes, I did. When did this person did this? It was 2013, September 16, hallelujah, of 8 o'clock at night. I was there looking at that person when it said this, or whatever time it was. I was there, the guardian angel is going to say. Here's the video. Watch the movie. Hallelujah. And then what does the person have to say? It will be the judgment, hallelujah, seat of Christ, where everyone is being called into an account. There's no justification there. I heard when this lady was being asked, why didn't you tithe? And I heard an angel said, a redeeming an angel said to her, I heard the angel said, the time belonged to God. Just like that, the angel said to her. And the redeemed said, it belongs to God. Man, and some people say, oh, you know, I don't believe in tithe, Brother Elby. Oh, I remember speaking about tithe a few months ago. My goodness, did I got attacked. All the emails I got. Oh, that is for the Old Testament, Brother Elby. You are wrong. You need to pray about that. Tithe is no more for the New Testament. That is so false. That is, listen to me very careful. Abraham tithe. Look it up in your Bible. Tithe is in the book of Hebrew. Look it up in your Bible. Hallelujah. It's not only in Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10 and on. Hallelujah. God established the tithe. If you don't tithe, you're going to have to give God an account. Hallelujah. And it's not hallelujah. There's no justification there. You either do or do not do. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, John 15, keep my commandments. John 14, if you love me, keep my commandment. You love Jesus, you may say yes, keep his commandment. That's all he's asking us to. Hallelujah, be obedient. Hallelujah, it's not easy, but that's why you got the Holy Spirit. That's why you got Jesus to help us. We have them. We got Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Who is Jesus? The God's own son. We got the greatest help that anyone can ever get in God's creation. His Holy Spirit and His own Son. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And they both obedient to God. And everything they do is to glorify God. Hallelujah. Verse 6. But Christ is as the Son over His own house, those house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing, the hope to the end. Boy, there's a few things people are losing here. According to Hebrews 3:6. I want you to listen to them and look at them in the Bible. Hallelujah. People are losing these things. And we cannot lose them. Hallelujah. First of all, it's holding fast. Okay? Believing, holding on to God's promise. Second is the confidence. In whom have you your confidence? Confidence. Is it in Christ, yourself, your money, this world, the army, the marine? Who? In who you have your confidence? Confidence. Your confidence is supposed to be in Christ, in God. Now, the second thing people are losing is the rejoicing. Boy, hardly anyone rejoices anymore. Hardly anyone said, I don't remember last time I heard someone said to me in the chat room or on email or somewhere, Brother Elvin, I rejoice in the Lord for what He's doing. For months or years, I haven't heard those words from anyone. People are losing their rejoicing in God. There's no joy there. And one of the things Jesus said that we would have is joy in the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Ruach HaKodesh? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Then you have the joy. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Shalom there, Miguel. And the hope. There is a hope that lasts forever. There is a hope in God that we cannot lose. There's a hope that lasts us to the end. And that's the hope God wants us to have in Him. Hope unto the end. Hallelujah. We need to have the hope, my brothers and sisters. We can never lose hope. You may lose all your money or everything you have, but don't lose your hope. Hallelujah. Don't lose your hope. Verse 7. Where therefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if ye shall hear His voice, you know, every time you read in the Bible about anyone hearing the voice of God, you know what is it talking about? Relationship. You can only hear God in your relationship with Him. You can only hear a person. Okay? Hear a person in a relationship. Hallelujah. When there's no relationship, someone can speak to you and the wind can take the word. But when there's a relationship, there is a hurt, there's a hear in you. You will hear that person. And so the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Ghost says, today, if ye, is that happening to you today? Yes, it is, tonight. It's happening to you. Shall hear His voice. When you hear Him speaking, listen. He's saying to us, listen to what He has to say. Don't take for granted His voice. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Harden not your heart. As in the provocation. According to the day of the temptation in the wilderness. There was a day and a time when the children of Israel decided to do their own thing. Go about their own will. Make their own choice. Hallelujah. Like some people say today, I'm just going to go ahead and do my own thing. Oh, that is not good. That is not good. God has not called you and I to do our own thing. Okay? No. Not in God. Harden not your heart. Some people's heart are hardened in such a way they don't want to hear. As in the provocation according to the day of temptation, of the temptation in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Who tempted God in the wilderness? The children of Israel that were taken out of Egypt. They saw the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. Destroying all their enemy before them. Hallelujah. He took them out of Egypt like in the wings of eagle. They flew with God to the promised land. In another word, God was taking care of them. He was carrying them. Hallelujah. He fed them manna from heaven, bread of God, bread from heaven. They were fed in the wilderness. They saw the mighty hand of God, water. Hallelujah. Water that came from nowhere is the word. Hallelujah. From the rock. Water that came from God, they drank. The most pure water any human can drink is the water of God. That was the water that the children of Israel drank in the wilderness. Jesus was that rock. And they were drinking the water of life. Spiritually, hallelujah, they were being cleansed and purified, in another word, from that water. Because that's the word that's to you. The word of God, well, that's what Jesus does with his water. He cleanses you. He purifies you. But all that happens in relationship. Hallelujah. When you seek him, when you call to him, when you go to him, when you humble yourself to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 9, will your fathers tempt me, prove me, and saw my work for 40 long years. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. That living water is still available today through Jesus Christ, in case anyone wanted to know. Your father tempted me, says the Holy Spirit. Prove me, says God. And so my work, says Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ye alone. Hallelujah. So God working in their life. Work, hallelujah, working so much in their life that if they would have heard God, they would have been obedient to God, they would have gone all to heaven. That was the purpose of God. That was for only for Aaron or for Moses or for Caleb, or, hallelujah, for Joshua to go to heaven. It was for everyone who he took out of Egypt to take them to heaven. Their spiritual life was being cleansed, was being purified. That's why, hallelujah, God says to Moses, go speak to the rock. Speak to the rock, and it will give you water. Hallelujah. You want Jesus to give you some of his water, speak to him in prayer. Go to him in prayer, and watch him give you water. You don't need to beat him up. What do you mean beat him up, Brother Elvie? When you beat up your brother and insult your brother and your sister, so you do to Christ. You don't need to beat up the Lord to get water from him. You don't need to offend the Lord to get water from him. You don't need to mock God to get water from him. You don't need to tempt him to get water from him. He'll give you living water. He'll give you green pasture if you would just speak to him. As God told Moses, just speak to the rock. Moses was supposed to go to the rock and said, Lord, give us some of your water. Lord, we thirst for you, Jesus. Give us some of your water, Yeshua. We thirst for you, Lord. Hallelujah. Without you, we're dry, Lord. Give us some of your water. And the Lord Jesus would have said, because the pastor hears the voice of his sheep. Hallelujah. Yes, here's some of my water. And he will start cleansing them. He will start filling them with water. And they will not thirst anymore. Because he told to that woman, hallelujah, if you drink out of this water, you will thirst again. But the water that I give, the water that I give, you will not thirst anymore. Hallelujah. His water, the water that comes from the rock, that is Jesus Christ, is completely different than the water you drink on earth. His water is pure. His water is life. My goodness, his water cleanses us so much that will get us to heaven, will purify us, that will bring us to God, third heaven, third level, where the Father is. That's what the water will take us. Speak to the rock, my brothers and sisters. I said to you, like God says to Moses, speak to the rock, and he will give you water. Speak it. Start hitting the rock. Start beating up the rock. Start speaking all kinds of evil things against the rock. But speak to it and speak to the rock in love. Speak to the rock tonight. Hallelujah. Speak to him early in the morning. Hallelujah. He will hear you. You don't need, you got to stop that abuse against the rock. So many people are insulting the rock, are hitting the rock with the bad language. Stop the nonsense and speak to the rock in love. And watch the water the rock will give you. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. He is so good. Hallelujah. He is so wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For 40 years, says God, they tempt him. 40 years long, they keep on with their nonsense. Hallelujah. And complain. And gossip. Murmur. Hallelujah. Fornication and all kinds of things. Worshipping other God. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they erred ever in their heart, neither have they known my ways. My goodness, when God sees someone murmuring, hallelujah, cursing, hallelujah, beating up the rock, well, God looks at their heart and see that they erred. They are in error. They know not God. They know not his ways. They can say they're saved. They can say they're Christian, but they know not his ways. Hallelujah. They know not his ways. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, while I was speaking with the Lord has spoken to me about someone. I said, Lord, you have spoken to me about this person. I kind of understand what you said and showed me. I want you to speak to me clear about this. And the Lord said, yes, my son. Here's what I said to you. And said it again to me. I was like, oh, my goodness, Lord. Yes, it is so real. There's so much going on. So much going on, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. But if you speak to the rock, you're going to be fine. Stop beating the rock. Stop hitting the rock. With whatever you have in your hand, stop it. Stop it. Stop pointing finger to the rock. But speak to the rock. Humble before the rock. Hallelujah. And watch what God will do in your life. Speak to Jesus in prayer. Hallelujah. Start insulting Jesus. Stop saying, Lord, this rapture is taking too long. What happened with God? Like God is unfaithful. Or like God can lie. God cannot lie, my brothers and sisters. It is impossible, his word said, for God to lie. God has a season and an hour when he's coming for his bride. In that season, we are entering that season, and that hour is approaching faster every day. Hallelujah. When we're going to enter his rest. Hallelujah. We're going to enter heaven seven-day rest. Hallelujah. That eternal seven-day rest is going to be so awesome. Hallelujah. We're going to enter the rest of God. Hallelujah. Very soon. It's approaching. Verse 11. Therefore I swore in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest. Hallelujah. Take heed, brethren. Let any time there be any of you an evil heart and unfaithful to depart away from the living God. What does chapter first 1 start of Hebrew 3:1 says? It talks about the faithfulness of Jesus as the Son of God. Okay? We are being warned in verse 12 not to be unfaithful. You see? God expects you and I to be faithful to him and keep his word, keep his commandment, be holy, be righteous. God expects that from you and I. You cannot stand there and tell God that you cannot be perfect, that you cannot be holy, that you cannot be righteous, and that you cannot keep his commandment. Don't tell God those words. Do not tell God those words. Because then you're saying God is a liar. And God is not a liar. Here again and here right. Jesus taught his disciple, all things are possible with God. God is not calling you to do anything on your own. He is calling you to do something that he is going to help you do. Hallelujah. That's why he has given you his own son and his own Holy Spirit for you to be righteous and for you to be holy and for you and I to be obedient. No one can stand and tell God this is not possible. Okay? Hallelujah. Look what it says, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest any time there be any of you an evil heart. Evil heart. Hallelujah. And unfaithful to depart away from the living God. When you hear people giving excuses about not being able to be holy, not being able to keep God's word, watch out. Look one Christian who are walking away from the grace. Hallelujah. Departing from the grace. Departing from the living God. If they have not departed yet, they are departing, the Bible says, to depart away from the living God. Watch out. You don't want to have anyone departed from the grace, departing from the living God, teaching you the word. If anyone you hear teaching you the word must be obedient, must be holy and righteous with God. Hallelujah. Because God can do that to any living being, any human being who seek him, who serve him. Hallelujah. God can do that with anyone. God is not a respecter of person. Hallelujah. He'll work with anyone who go to him. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. If that person saying he is not, then the Bible says he has an evil heart. Don't listen to people with evil heart. And the Lord will give you a witness who has an evil heart. Hallelujah. Oh, they say, oh, I know I'm not there yet. Well, you're supposed to be there. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Then we got the parable of the 10 virgins. 10 were righteous. 10 were right before God. Hallelujah. And the other 10 were not. Had an evil heart. According to this word. My brothers and sisters, where are we? We either are with him or we're not. We either are hot, we're lukewarm, or we're cold. Which of the three we are? We cannot say I'm cold and this is the way I am and this is the way I serve God. No. You cannot be lukewarm and say, well, this is the way I am. This is the way that I serve God. No. Evil heart, watch out. Watch out. Ask for the sermon. Ask for leading. Ask for confirmation. As the Lord will lead you, my brothers and sisters, you can only enter through the door, and that door is Jesus Christ. You cannot enter any other way. Remember the wedding, everyone was invited, and there was someone there who came in another way, and they said, what are you doing here? And they took him, and they threw him out. You cannot come any other way but through Jesus Christ. He is the door. You can only come in through the door. You cannot come in any other way. And a lot of people are saying, well, I'm coming in through the window. I'm coming in through the back door. I'm coming in through the other way. This is the way I serve God. So what? You repent for that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. You can only come in through the door. You can only come in through the front door, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. It's like the tabernacle. It had a door. And so the priest had to go in through that door, go in through the holy, to his way to the Holy of Holies. There was one way to go in there, and that way is Jesus Christ. He is holy, and, hallelujah, right from the beginning of the tabernacle was holy. That is Jesus, hallelujah, and the Holy Spirit working in our life, going to the Holy of Holies, where the Father is three times holy. He is holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is the way to the Father. Spiritually speaking, if you are walking with Jesus, your soul is with God already. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Your soul is with God. But let me tell you about Father God. If you are walking with God and you go ahead and commit a serious sin, let me tell you what Father God does. He's a loving God. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. He'll throw your soul in hell in a blink of an eye. Just as he can rot your ass in a blink of an eye, and less than a blink of an eye will be thrown in hell. Our soul will be thrown in hell in our spirit. And we'll find ourselves being tormented with demons. That's what happens to thousands and maybe millions of Christians already. Hallelujah. They have committed very serious sin before God, which John said, the Apostle John, that I would not advise you to pray for. Hallelujah. And their soul were thrown in hell faster than they can talk because they will not repent. There's always a chance from God for us to repent. But it don't mean he not already throw your soul in hell or your spirit. Hallelujah. He already has thrown it in hell. Hallelujah. But repenting, what repenting does is gives Jesus, gives God the opportunity to forgive you and have Jesus and the Holy, have Jesus bring you out, bring your soul and your spirit out of hell back into heaven through the process of repenting. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus does. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But let me tell you what they do to that soul when it's when it gets thrown in hell. And the demon get hold of that soul. The demon back in the line says to the demon in the front who had the soul, pass that soul back down to the line. Pass it back down to the line. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go into too graphic of the evil they do to your soul and your spirit. But I'm going to try to go in lightly of what they do. The Lord has revealed to me. Hallelujah. They abuse you. They abuse your soul, which is you. All kinds of ways. Sexually, all kinds of ways. I'm not going to go into more graphical than that. Because there might be children listening. Okay? They do that to your soul. And they put into your soul all kinds of soul ties. So as you are trying to get back on your feet, God, you are having so much trouble. Some Christian can tell you, 12 years ago when I used to serve God, before I fell down and got up again, all that, it was so easy to serve God. Now, after I fell back into sin and all that, my goodness, it's been so hard for me to serve God because that's what they did to that person's soul. Those demons got a hold of that soul. They said, this person may get a chance to repent. Let's do everything we can so that person cannot get up again. They put in all kinds of devices. They use and abuse us all any way they can. And that's why these people are having this. But that's what they do, the Lord has told me. That's what demons do. Who for is it? Our fault. Because we sin. We made the choice to sin. So my brothers and sisters that are listening to me, do not sin. Do not sin. I'm telling you, do not choose to sin. Because if you choose to sin, God is going to throw your soul in hell faster than what you can blink. Hallelujah. And it's going to be very hard for you to get up again. God, do not tolerate sin. There's no way your soul can be in hell and you can be sinning. That's no way possible. God is holy, holy, holy. Jesus is holy too. Hallelujah. And God allows to heaven anyone who repents, who he wants and repents. But not everyone is allowed into his heaven because God knows everyone's heart. And he knows who has an evil heart or who has a heart of repenting. Hallelujah. You see how many times did God deal with Saul? Did God knew Saul's heart? Yes, he did. All the people wanted a king. They prayed for a king. They asked Samuel, please, we want to have a king like the rest of the nation. They all have a king. Why can't we have a king? Samuel went before God. All right, they want to have a king. They keep insisting they want to have a king. They don't understand I'm their king. Okay, all right, Samuel. Go anoint this man over there. Go. And Samuel went and anointed Saul. But Saul had an evil heart. Saul did not have a repenting heart. And even though Saul prophesied and spoke in tongue, and so you know that prophesying and speaking in tongue is not all. Hallelujah. Some people say, oh, that person prophesied, he's for sure a holy man of God. Watch out. Prophesying, speaking in tongues don't mean much unless you're truly walking with God. So prophesy with the rest of the prophet. Read your Bible. He prophesied with the rest of the prophet. He went in there and he's prophesied. No one can say, so did not prophesy. He did. But he had an evil heart. How did he prophesy? Don't you ask me of this mystery of God. They're just mystery of God. He did. Hallelujah. But he had an evil heart. He went to hell. He will not obey God. No matter how many chances God will give Saul, he will not obey God because he had an evil heart. He will not keep God's commandment because he had an evil heart. No way. See, God tested Saul by saying, Saul, he sent him away. So, okay, Saul, this is what I want you to do. I want you to kill the Philistine, but I want you to wait until Samuel goes to do the sacrifice, Saul, and just wait there. And again, like some people say, God, like Moses did, people started pressuring Moses. This is why we need to watch out with people, including people of God. They can pressure you into sinning. They can pressure you into disobedience. They can pressure you into breaking God's commandment. Didn't they pressure Moses into hitting the rock? Didn't they pressure Saul into doing the sacrifice himself? Oh, you know, Samuel, I come and forget about this. I can do this. What's so difficult about this? Well, first of all, he was not anointing as a priest. Saul was not a priest. He was a king. He was not a priest. So there's no way God could receive the sacrifice out of his hand. He was actually bringing judgment unto his own life. That's what Saul was doing. And that's exactly what he did. And that's exactly what he got, judgment unto his own life. Because Saul was not anointed to make any sacrifice. See, you need to know your place in God. You need to know your place in God. Don't do what God did not send you to do. Hallelujah. If God tells you that you are a prophet to speak to the nation, you go speak to the nation. But if God did not tell you, go teach my word, don't you go ahead and teach God's word, because that's not your calling. You got to do according to your own calling. You got all people doing all kinds of ministry, and that's not their calling. And they don't realize that what they do is they bring confusion onto people's life, because that's not their calling. God did not call them to do that. Thank you, Jesus. God did not call them to do that. God, you got to know your calling in God, and you got to do your calling. See, Saul said, well, what is so hard about making a sacrifice like Sam? Killing the animals? I could do that. But that was not the point. He was not anointed. That was not his ministry. That was not his calling. Hallelujah. That was not his calling. You need to understand the calling of God in your life. You need to know what God wants you to do. Why? Because you don't want to be doing what God has not sent you to do. Because if you go ahead and do what God did not send you to do, you think you're so qualified, you went to the university for 5 years, 6 years, you're so prepared, you got so much degree, you think you can do this, and you're going to go ahead and do it, and then you're going to have so many people confused and forget about it, a whole mess, because that's not your calling. God is not going to back you up, hallelujah, on something that is not your calling. Hallelujah. He's not going to back you up. See, God will back up Samuel, but he will not back up Saul in the calling. Hallelujah, in the sacrifice. You see, when Samuel offered the sacrifice, the glory of God will come down. It was beautiful. God will bless the people. God will pardon the sin. Oh, it was awesome. Samuel was anointed for that. That was his calling. But when Saul did it, what did Saul do? He brought judgment on himself, and he brought judgment on the people that were following him. And when they went to confront the Philistine, what happens? They killed Saul, and they killed all his men that was with him. Hallelujah. It can bring you death. If you go do another ministry that is not your calling, it can bring you death like Saul. That's how serious God is about the calling. Oh, my brothers and sisters, read what Paul says to Timothy about his calling. Hallelujah. It's very important we know his calling. We know the calling God has put in our life, what God wants us to do. Because Saul brought judgment upon himself. He brought judgment upon all the men that were following him. They were all killed. They were all killed. Something that sounds so simple, he did. God, hallelujah, allowed the Philistine to kill them all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So verse 11 said, therefore I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. In another word, God says, you know what? They're not coming to heaven. They're not coming to heaven. I'm not going to allow them to come to heaven. That's it. And who has the final word? God. God has the final word. He has the final word in all this, my brothers. That's what people don't understand. You go against God, he has the final word. He can say who can come into his resting, into his rest, and who cannot. He can say that. Who can stop him? So therefore, I swear in my wrath, they should not enter my rest. That's it. That's it for them. They're not going to hell. They're going to hell. That's where they're going. Hallelujah. Verse 13 now. But it sorts one another daily. Another translation said encouragement, but I like the word exhort. Tell one another. But exhort one another daily. While it is called today, Let any of you be heartened through the deceitfulness of sin. I want to explain this. Because many people are being deceived by sin, and they don't even know it. Some people are falling in so much sinning daily. They get into so much sin daily, and they think it's okay because I'm just human. That is not a justification you can use before God. Don't use that, because God made you, and God knows that you can be holy. And you can walk and keep his commandment. Don't give God that excuse. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Don't give God that excuse, because if you study the life of Saul, that's exactly what Saul was doing. Giving God excuses. Hallelujah. But exhort one another daily. Why it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is making people make poor choices today. Hallelujah. Don't listen to the deceitfulness of sin. Don't you make choices. If you know you are in sin, don't make any decision when you are in sin. Rule number one, which I apply to my life. Rule number one. Write this down if you want. Rule number one. Don't make any choice pertaining to God or your calling or your ministry while you are in sin. Rule number two, don't move to any place, including an apartment or a house, if you know you are in sin, which is disobedient. Don't move. Rule number three, don't travel. Don't travel. If you know you are in sin and in disobedient, don't travel anywhere. Hallelujah. I live by these rules. I love this. Hallelujah. Because look what the Bible said. Sin can deceive us. Deceitfulness of sin. Our sin can deceive us in such a way that we will make the wrong decision. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. We will make the wrong decision when we sin. And so when we sin, our mind is not clear. Our spiritual life is not clear. God is not speaking to us in sin. God is not speaking to anyone in sin. Hallelujah. Praise, unless you are repenting, which is different. I'm talking about in sin, that you know you're in sin, and you're not repenting. If you are falling in sin, you have made a mistake, and you are repenting, we have a lawyer before God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He intercedes for us. He forgives our sin. He cleanses us. He purifies us. He puts us back in a narrow way. But don't make any decision if you are in sin. My brothers and sisters, stay what you are and repent. Repent. The only decision you should make is repent and seek God's will for your life. After you repent and repent and repent and you get in good grace back with God, then ask the Lord to lead you in your decision. Lord, I want to move from this place to another place. Will you please lead me, Lord, in all this? And the Lord will lead you. But don't make no decision in sin. Because if you do, you're going to regret it. That's what these people did. They make decision in sin. Never do that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 14. For we are made partaker of Christ if we keep sure unto the end, the beginning whereby we are upholding. Hallelujah. So in Christ Jesus, we are partaking of everything God has made or promise us through Christ. New heaven, new earth, heavenly places. So much being promised to us through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But there is a beginning. Hallelujah. Which the Bible calls in Revelation the first love. Do not forsake your first love. Hallelujah. Your relationship with God, in another word. Do not forsake that. Hallelujah. Do not forsake that. Whereby we are upholding. We are whole responsible for. God holds you responsible for your relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't make no excuses. Don't blame God. Hallelujah. For your shortcoming. Repent. Repent. And say, Lord, I take full responsibility for my sin. And watch how God will cleanse you. God will restore you. God will do so much to your life if you repent sincerely every day. and you take full responsibility for your sin. That's what God wants from you and I, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah. And he wants it today, today, because we don't know what tomorrow will hold. Verse 15, so long as it is said, today, that's the word today again, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. There's a provocation, hallelujah, that everyone has to go through in their life. There is a day of provocation that we go through. And that is the day when we sin. When we break God's commandment, that is our day of provocation. When we provoke God. What did God expect from you and I? Repenting. That we will repent. That we will say, Father, I'm sorry that I have sinned against you and against heaven. I'm sorry. Like the prodigal son. I have sinned against you and against heaven, he said. In his prayer, and repenting prayer. God expects you and I to repent and understand the damage of sin. Hallelujah. The separation that sin brings between God and us. Hallelujah. So long as he says today, if you hear his voice, once you open that Bible and you read God, what God says in there, that is God's voice speaking to you. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation. They provoke God with the sin, with the sinful life, and we also provoke God with our sinful life. That's why we are being called to repenting. Because when we sin, we provoke God. We come against his will. We come against his word. We come against his plan. We come against holiness and righteousness and everything that God stands for. And so that's why it says, do not harden your heart. You know that some people fall into sin. They start justifying themselves. They harden their heart. And then when you go speaking to them about God's word and what God has for them, they don't want to hear, they say. No. I know that stuff. Don't bring it to me. They have hardened their heart. That is the problem of falling into sin. And it says, if you hear his voice, hallelujah, harden not your heart. Hallelujah. Do not harden your heart if you hear his voice. If God uses someone to speak to you and say, look, you made a mistake, get up, you know, repent, do this, do that. Don't get mad at the person. Ah, person bothering me again, they say. Or they say to their father or mother, please stop bothering me again with that. No. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Hallelujah. He's having mercy on you. Hallelujah. He don't want anyone to perish. Verse 16. For some, when they heard, provoke him in anger. Hallelujah. Have not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now all of them came out. Hallelujah. From Egypt. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. In another word, God wanted to save them all. Hallelujah. But not all listened. Not all obeyed. Not all kept his word. Not all repented. See, the whole deal is we're all going to sin somehow, some way. So what did God expect from you and I? Repenting. That we will not hearken our heart and start justifying and so on. And say, I'm only human. This is gonna, you know, and stop making up excuses and then blame God. See, when someone is blaming God for something that happens to them, they have already hearkened their heart. See, it goes from this point. You sin, you start justifying yourself, and you go on and on and on. And then you find yourself blaming God. Now it's God's fault. Everyone in God's fault. Hallelujah. You hear people say, well, I don't blame anyone but God, they say. How dare they? How dare fallen man, sinful man, blame a holy God, a perfect God? You understand? Hallelujah. But that's when they already hearken their heart. And then God said, for some, not all, when they heard, provoke him in anger. Why? Because they will not repent. They will not repent, so they provoke God. That's what people do. That's what people in America are doing today with their sin, with the homosexual and lesbian sin, and the killing of those innocent babies. Hallelujah. In the hospital and everywhere in the United States, all kinds of abortions are happening. They are mortifying abortion by every day. They are provoking God to his anger. That's why God says, I'm going to bring this huge tsunami. I'm bringing this meteor to hit the earth. It's going to hit Puerto Rico. It's going to hit the sea. And that 300-foot wave is going to hit Miami, Orlando. It's going to hit Virginia. It's going to hit Connecticut. It's going to hit New York. Hallelujah. New Jersey. Hallelujah. It's going to hit New York so hard that they will not know what hit them. And it's going to hit them early in the morning. It's coming. Jesus has shown me 9 after 9. Judgment is coming nonstop to the United States. His anger, they have provoked him to anger. They have not heard his voice. And God's anger, my goodness, have increased. Our Father is so mad at the United States that when he gets his hand on them, they're going to wish they were never born. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. It is so bad, so bad, so bad that our Father got so mad they got no idea. They have made this our righteous God anger. My goodness, who can deliver them from the hand of God? Who can anyone deliver in America from the hand of God? God is so mad, they have no idea, no idea how mad our Father is. Hallelujah, he's about to bring his judgment. And the Lord's letting me know it's soon, soon, it's coming. Hallelujah. And when a day goes by, that tsunami is not into the United States, it is a day of mercy. God has given the United States to repent. But they're not listening. They have hardened their heart. Hallelujah. And it's not going to be for good. Hallelujah. Verse 17. But with whom was he displeased for 40 years? With whom? Hallelujah. In other words, point them out so we can know who they were. Was he now displeased with them that sinned, who cursed cases, fell on the wilderness? In other words, who died? Hallelujah. The Lord has spoken through his prophet that there will be viruses in the United States that will start killing people, and they will have no cure for those viruses that are coming. The cast cases, hallelujah, will fall on the street of New York, will fall around the United States on the street of their city. Everywhere, hallelujah, these viruses are going to attack the United States, and they will have no cure for these viruses. The Lord has spoken this because of what? Hallelujah. Was he not displeased with them? Hallelujah, the sin of America before the throne of God. And they are not repenting. They are not repenting. Hallelujah. And God, hallelujah, is going to put it in. Just as those people, their body fell on the wilderness dead, were no cure, hallelujah. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Good night there, Cornelius, hallelujah. So God will do, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Verse 18. And unto whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but unto them that obey not. In another word, God warned them, as God is warning America through his prophet, hallelujah, and they are not listening. Hallelujah. They are not listening. They keep killing these babies. They keep approving law, like in California, to marry homosexual and lesbian. They keep on with the game. They keep on ignoring God's word. And our Father God can only take so much. He can only take so much. He is a loving, long-suffering God, but he only going to allow sin to go on so much. He will only allow sin to go on so much because his hand will raise. Hallelujah. And who can stop him? Who can stop God? Hallelujah. He swear, and to whom swear he that they should not enter his rest, but unto them that obey not. See, what gets God mad is this. This is what gets God mad, according to Hebrews chapter 3:18. When he tells the people through his prophet, his servant, his messenger what's coming, and the people of America ignore them, take them for granted, or listen not, obey not. That's what gets God mad. Because God is saying, I'm speaking to you, America, but you are refusing to hear me. through my prophet. Like the Lord says to me once, I'm speaking to America. I am the one speaking to them, and they're not listening to me. Hallelujah. It is the Lord God Almighty, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, hallelujah, who brought them through the wilderness, who is speaking to America through his prophet, and they have listened now. They obey him now. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And that's what's getting Father God so mad. His anger is burning, hallelujah. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Now, who he's speaking to now? Who is this writer, which are angels, I know. Who is the writer, hallelujah, Hebrew 3:19 speaking to? Now he uses the word we. Who are we? Christians, sons and daughters of God, saved by grace. Those are we. Those are we. And so what's wrong with us now? What is wrong with us? Well, let's read. So we see that they could not enter in. Hallelujah. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. We unbelief. We have unbelief among us. We have people that don't believe. We got people that question so much and don't believe. Oh, I better research that from the Lord, but they don't pray about it. Oh, that's not of God, but they don't pray about it. Are you praying about it? Are you saying that's not of God because God is letting you know it's not of him? Because the Lord is letting you know to your spirit that's not of him? Or you're just saying that because you think so and you know so and you know the word so much and you got so much degree and you're war and that gives you the right, you think, to say that's not of God? Watch out with pride. Watch out with sneaky little pride. Hallelujah. Pride is very sneaky, hallelujah. Very deceiving. Oh, but the most foundation of sin is pride, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. That was the foundation of Satan in heaven, pride. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we see. So why are we seeing? Because we got our eyes open. The word opens our eyes. That they could not enter in because of unbelief. Watch out with unbelief. Watch out. I believe it's very, very dangerous. Hallelujah. Matthew 13:58 said, and they did, and hallelujah, and he did not many great works there for their unbelief sakes. They probably were nice people, welcome people. They probably even gave the Lord water and food when he went there. But there was one thing they didn't do, believe him. Hallelujah. They did not believe the Lord. So they did not receive, hallelujah, what they could have received by faith. Hallelujah. Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for I verily say unto you, if ye have faith as much as a grain of mustard seed, you should say unto the mountain, remove hence, hallelujah, to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So what will be impossible to you? Nothing, Jesus said. Nothing. Matthew 17:20. Mark 9:24. And straight away the father and the child cried with tears, said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. See what the Lord once says. You got a problem, you go to him. Like this man did. You know, he know he could not believe it. That he had trouble believing God. He know he had trouble. So, Lord, help my unbelief then. And the Lord helped him. The Lord did the miracle, didn't he? Because he wants you to go to him. Hallelujah. Mark 16:14. Finally, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat together and reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which have seen him being risen up again. Hallelujah. All Jesus wanted was that these women came from the tomb, the angel had appeared to them and came and told the people, look, he has risen again. We have seen him. Hallelujah. Oh, we don't believe you. Unbelief there was, oh my goodness, like it is today. Hallelujah. Jesus wanted them to believe. That's it. That's what Jesus wants for people, to believe him. Believe his word. Romans 3:3. For what though some did not believe, should they unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It may affect them directly, but not those that believe. God is not a respecter of person. God can do anything to anyone. Hallelujah. He can do anything to anyone. Hallelujah. But God have mercy on them, talking about the Jewish people. Romans 4:20. Neither did he doubt of a promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in the faith and gave God glory, gave glory to God. In other words, this was, I believe, Abraham. Hallelujah. The father of faith. Hallelujah. And so all you got to do is believe and thank God. Praise him. Give great glory. Hallelujah. That's all God wants. Hallelujah. Neither he doubt of the promise of God through, hallelujah, unbelief. Hallelujah. You know, we all get tempted one time to not to believe. But then repent. Repent. That's what we got to do. Repent. And ask the Lord to help us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 11:20. Well, through unbelief, they are broken off and are standing by faith, being not high-minded by fear. This was God. This was Paul speaking about the Jewish people and where they're standing with God and all that. You know? And because they unbelieved, hallelujah, they broke up, oh, hallelujah, thou standing by faith. You know, it was God who allowed this to happen to the Jewish people, so we will enter, says Paul, hallelujah, in Romans 11, explaining what's happening there. Have God rejected his people, Israel? No, he hasn't. Because a lot of Christians believe that. God has rejected Israel. No, he hasn't. What do you think he's going to, hallelujah, separate for himself 144,000 out of them? 12,000 out of every tribe. Because, you know, by mercy, by grace, my brothers and sisters. But he said, be not high-minded, but fear. Hallelujah. Don't let pride take hold of you, but fear God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans 11:23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be granted in, for God is able to grant them. And again, hallelujah. For sure, God can do anything. Romans 11:34, even as ye a time past have not believed God, ye have obtained mercy through the unbelief. Hallelujah. This is a mystery now. This is a mystery. Hallelujah. Because yes, at one time we were not saved, but Jesus already died on the cross. And how the mercy of God has been extended to our life. And that's why we have no excuse now to believe, because the mercy of God has been there first when we did not believe. My brothers and sisters, that's a mystery right there. Hallelujah. But it's true on those that live and walk with God. Hallelujah. Romans 11:32. For God has shown off all unbelief that he might have mercy on all. That's why Jesus had died on the cross, so we can be saved. So the Jewish people, if they repent, can be saved. Anyone can be saved. Hallelujah. Salvation unto the Jews, unto anyone. Hallelujah. No matter who. First Timothy 1:13. When before I was a blasphemer, says Paul, a persecutor and oppressor, but I was received for mercy, for I did an injury through unbelief. Hallelujah. We have done many things through unbelief, but the mercy of God, hallelujah, has been so good to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3:19. So we see that they could not enter in because of the unbelief. Hallelujah. Again. 3:19, they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews 4:6, seeing therefore and reminded that some must enter thereinto, that they to whom it was first preached enter not therein for their unbelief's sake. Hallelujah. Unbelief can keep us from entering, my brothers and sisters. Believe God in his word. Hallelujah. And with 10 virgins, 10 were wise and five was wise and 5 was foolish. We are to be wise before God in this time that we're living in. Time is difficult. Things are hard. Hallelujah. We know how we struggle every day. Hallelujah. But we have to cry out to God and ask him for help. Don't give up, my brothers and sisters. Do not give up on God. Do not give up on your faith. Yes, this rapture has taken long. But, you know, the Lord is here with us. Call upon his name. Ask him for help. Ask him to heal you. Ask him to strengthen you, to give you strength to walk, to give you wisdom, to give you understanding. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Continue to seek God, my brothers and sisters. Don't give up on your faith. Continue to preach. Continue to be obedient. Hallelujah. Continue to seek holiness and righteousness and ask the Lord to help you. He will help you. He's faithful. He will not deny you his help. He's willing that anyone, hallelujah, no one will perish. He's willing that you and I will not perish. He wants to save us. He wants to bring us to heaven. Hallelujah. But we must repent. We must understand when we choose to, when we make a mistake, when we choose to sin and we repent, God expects us to repent. Hallelujah. Don't make no decision while you, in sin. If you know you have sinned, you have fallen short out of the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's what sin is. Hallelujah. Repent. Hallelujah. Don't wait till the next day to repent. Don't blame someone else for your sin. Don't blame God. Don't blame Satan. Don't blame the demon. But take full responsibility for your sin before God. And God will help you, hallelujah, to overcome, to be more than overcomer in Jesus Christ. God will give you his knowledge. God will give you his strength. Hallelujah, because God wants us to be more than overcomer. My brothers and sisters, God don't want us to give up. Hallelujah. He is for us. He is for us. He's here to help us. Hallelujah. I want to pray. I want to raise my hand to some of the people that are struggling with sin and so much more, that the Lord will give you his strength in Jesus' name. Holy Jesus, look at your people, Lord. Those that are struggling, those that are going to trials and testing in difficult time, Lord Jesus, I bring them before your presence, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to give them your strength, Lord, your wisdom, your knowledge. Help them, Lord, to walk, to keep your word, to be holy, to be righteous, to keep your commandment, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, Yeshua name, Lord. Anyone is sick, Lord, I pray for healing. Isaiah 53:5 said, Lord, you took our infirmity and you, Lord, by your stripes, by your wound, we were healed. I pray for healing anyone that is sick. I pray for strength on those that are weak, Lord. Those that are going to testing and trial, Lord. I ask you to help, Lord. I ask you to give them your strength, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, Yeshua name, Lord Jesus. Help by your people, Lord. Strengthen your people, Lord. Help them to go on, Lord Jesus. Help them to wait on you, Lord, that you're coming. This day is coming, Lord. Awaken those, Lord Jesus, that are in the way of this tsunami that is coming, of this earthquake, Lord. Awaken, Lord, the people in Orlando, the people in Florida, the people in New Jersey, the people in New York and Virginia and Washington, Lord. In Pennsylvania, Lord Jesus, awaken them. In Boston, Lord, awaken Connecticut. Awaken the people that are in the way of this tsunami, Lord, that they will take heed to your message, that you're speaking to your prophet, your servant, Lord, that you're warning your people, Lord, to watch out, Lord, that this is coming. This is going to kill millions of people, Lord, and they are not ready to face God like those 13 people that were killed today. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. They were not ready, Lord, to face God. They were not ready to go to heaven, some of them, Lord. Hallelujah. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we that are here, those that are here that are not ready, that they will be quickening. They will be awakened, Lord, to the time and the hour in Jesus' name. Mighty Jesus, especially your people, Lord, that your people, we, hallelujah, that are here will not have unbelief. The word said, Lord, they will not have unbelief. Your people, your bride, will unbelief, will not take hold of them, Lord. Lord Jesus, awaken them by mercy. Have mercy on your people in New York, New Jersey, Virginia, Orlando, Miami, Lord. Awaken them, Lord. Remove their unbelief from their heart, their life. Lord Jesus, awaken them to the hour, to the time. Mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, awaken them, Lord, that they know, Lord Jesus, that they know it is God speaking, it is not man. God is using his prophet to awaken them, Lord, to quicken them to the hour that they will repent in Jesus' mighty name, in Yeshua, mighty name, Lord. Touch them in a special way. Set the captive free, Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty Lord. Hallelujah. Help your people, Lord. Give them the strength, Lord. Help the people in Canada, Lord. Hallelujah. Give them your strength. Give them your knowledge. Give them your wisdom. Help them to walk, Lord Jesus. People in the United States and Europe, Lord. Help them, mighty Jesus, in Africa and around the world, Lord Jesus, in Mexico and Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic and all the islands and Cuba, Lord. Help the people, Lord. Help the people that are serving you, that are in the way of this tsunami, Lord. Have mercy on them in Jesus' name. We pray, mighty Jesus. Help them out, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Mighty Jesus, help them out, Lord. Help them out, mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. Mighty Jesus, help other people that need your help, Lord, the people that are struggling in the walk, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, that they will not do like the people of Israel. They're in the wilderness, Lord. They provoke you, Lord. They tempt you, Lord Jesus, with their sinful life. That they will not repent. They will not walk away from the sin. They keep sinning. They're unbelief of course of their heart, of their mind, and they will not repent. They keep provoking you until you swear and your wrath. They will not enter your rest. Mighty Jesus, have mercy that my Father will not say those words, that they will not enter the rest, because they will not enter the rest. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. In Yeshua's name, have mercy, mighty Jesus. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, mighty Jesus. Let your rain come. Let your spirit of rain come to their life. Lord Jesus, they will be ministered in a special way. God will minister to them. God will raise them up. In Jesus' name, God will restore the life. Hallelujah.
Open
we will
come back to work God. In
Jesus'
name
we pray. I thank you, Jesus.
Let
the Lord bless you.
May
the Lord keep you.
May
the Lord
make
you.
Sing out. Let it rain.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.